Love thee, I know thou art mine, my rock and my fortress, my surety divine. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. You should simply rejoice in that assurance that we belong to the Lord. Yes, I've got a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. And the message I want to bring to you is none other but the believers' threefold judgment. The believers' threefold judgment. Past judgment as a sinner, present judgment as the son, that is self-judgment, and the future judgment, which is of course as a servant. So the believers' threefold judgment is past, present, and future. Our past judgment as a believer is our judgment for sin. Our present judgment is our judgment as a son. It is self-judgment. And our future judgment is for our works as a servant. So let us bear that in mind, past, present, and future. Past as for our sin, and present as a son, and of course future as a servant. I want to read with you three verses as we first consider the believer's first judgment as a sinner. And the first verse is in Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The latter portion, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him, that is the Lord Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And lastly, another verse, that is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who his own shall bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. And the Lord always blesses the public reading of his most precious word. The believer's past judgment as a sinner. The Bible teaches that every sin we have ever committed, past, present, and future, was laid on Christ more than 2,000 years ago. All our sins, past, present, and future, when the Lord Jesus Christ died, it was laid on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have heard so much in our first session about the cross of Christ, what he all went through, what he all endured on our behalf. And because of that, the crucifixion of our Lord, we can rejoice this afternoon, knowing that we will never be judged for our sin. Never ever. And that is bring joy to our hearts to know I, as a hell-deserving sinner, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. He died in my own stead. He paid sin's penalty. I will never, ever, and you, my dear, beloved brother and sister, will never be judged for sin. That's in the past. Yes. Present, yes, as a son. We'll come to that. So the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. That is what the prophet Isaiah prophesied. And then as we have read in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for he was made sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was made sin. He knew no sin, he did no sin, in him was no sin. Yes, he was holy, he was harmless, he was spotless, he was separate from sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. But because he loved us so, that he took our sins in his body on the tree. That's why we also read that verse in 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own shall bear our sins in his body on the tree. Yes, he took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and he suffered and he died alone. Lord Jesus Christ, he sacrificed himself. He paid sin's penalty. He became our substitute. Yes, he was a sinner's friend. He died in our room and in our stead. And what he endured on our behalf on that rugged cross, we'll never be able to bear it. The agony that he went through. But we thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. For him who became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. And that's why we can simply rejoice that he bore our sins in his body on the tree. Now, beloved, 2,000 years ago, God took every sin you've ever committed or ever will commit and placed them on Christ. That you have committed, or ever will commit, that sin was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So beloved, when the Lord Jesus Christ died, all your sins were future. Remember that. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, all your sins were future. Christ actually became guilty for your sins. Not that he was a sinner, but because he bore your sins, my sins, in his body on the tree. And as we drawn to Calvary, musing, yes, what he all went through on our behalf, we know when, while he was hanging on that rugged cross, he uttered seven sayings, seven utterances. Three was before the darkness, and three was after the darkness, and one was during the darkness from 12 noon until 3 p.m. We know it was darkness over the whole world. The one during darkness, that is the time when a holy and a righteous God dealt with his sin, with his son, because he took our sin in his body on the tree. And that's why that agonizing cry, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God is holy, he's a righteousness, he's righteous. He can't look on sin. He had to deal with sin. And that's why he turned, as it were, his back on his only begotten Son, because he was made sin for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why that agonizing cry, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was left alone, as it were, with the weight of our sin. And so, not only that he suffered the agony of separation from God, but he also suffered the agony of thirst. The fifth utterance was, I thirst. You and I can just imagine all that suffering, losing all that blood, shed his most precious blood. That was the cost of our redemption, to satisfy a holy God. He paid in full with his own precious blood. And that's why at fifth utterance, I thirst. Not only did he suffer the separation from a holy God, suffer the agony of thirst, but also he suffered even the darkness of hell as he was hanging, nailed to that rugged cross. So the Lord Jesus Christ paid in full the price. The price that was required was his most precious blood. And that's why you and I, brother and sister, we can rejoice this afternoon in that our sins are forgiven. We've been reconciled to God by the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because of that shed blood that we can rejoice in the forgiveness of our sins. We've been cleansed. Every night, the Lord will remember our sins no more. We can simply express our gratitude unto a loving God, a loving Savior, such as the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he even suffered the agony of the darkness of hell, like the Egyptian darkness. You could actually feel that darkness. That's all that the Lord went through. Yes, when Jesus died on the cross, full payment was made for believers. He satisfied the just demand of a holy God. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing that precious song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Blessed be his name. How thankful we ought to be. Yes, since Jesus died on the cross for our sins, we believers will never face God in judgment for sin. God will never deal with me as a sinner. All his dealings will be as a son. And that's why we will come to the second phase. Believer's judgment for sin is past. We come now to present judgment At his own judgment, the Lord will deal with us as a sin. Yes, since the believer's judgment for sin is past, does that mean you and I can live loose, sinful, and immoral, and get away with it? Certainly not. And here is where the second phase of the believer's judgment comes in. I call it his judgment as a son. Present judgment, self-judgment. We read in 1 Corinthians 11, 31, 32. I've written it down, not to take up much time. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31 and 32. Yes, every single believer should daily look into his life, into his heart, and see if there's any wicked way, if there's any sin. And God is so gracious. 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every believer should constantly look into his life to see what is wrong, then face his sins, confess them, and obtain forgiveness and cleansing. David prayed in Psalm 139, 23 and verse 24. These are the words. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Remember when David sinned, Psalm 51? That was his cry to a holy God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Many a times, because of sin in our lives, we can lose our joy. And that was the case with David. That's why he cried unto the Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Yes, beloved, the believer is constantly to judge himself. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, 28, but let a man examine himself. The purpose of this self-examination is to face up to sin and confess it, that we may obtain forgiveness and cleansing. Also, verse in 1 John 2:20, 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, but we know we've got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You know, I read through the Bible, and by reading through it, there's at least four things that are mentioned. What a believer do with his sin when he sins. Firstly, we are to blame others. And it's a pity there's not much time to go into it. The example is in with Adam and Eve in the beginning, Genesis 3 verse 12, I think that is, when he was also disobedient to the Lord, and then he actually blamed his wife for eating of the forbidden fruit. The woman now is given me. He blamed his wife Eve. Eventually, actually, he blamed God himself. The woman thou gavest me to be. blame. And then not only we blame, put the blame on somebody else, or we might just excuse our sins. Find to make an excuse for our sins. And also we can example, in the case of King Saul, First Samuel 15, verses 20, 21 and 22, also, where King Saul was disobedient, Samuel came to him, the prophet, that he must kill all the Amalekites, even the king Agag, and destroy all the oxen and the sheep and so on. But what did King Saul do? Instead of obeying the Lord, killed everybody, all the sheep and all the cattle. Now he spared some of them, the cattle, of the sheep and of the oxen. And he even spared King Agag, the Amalekite. And it was told to him, he had to destroy everything and everybody. And because of his disobedience, he was chastised. He was dethroned. Because, why? He made excuses. He was scared for the people and kept the peace. Sheep and oxen, you want to sacrifice everything. That is the Lord has said to him, you must kill even the king, everybody, sheep and oxen. Others again, they try to cover up their sins. Not so? Proverbs 28:13. They can try to cover up our sins. We even go so far when we get jealous and we may even tell lies to cover up our sins. Fourthly, that we're supposed to do, that we don't even do. And God is so gracious, he says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness that we don't even do. We don't confess, and that is where the chastisement comes in. He deals us with his son. And then we have to pay. Not for our sin, he chastises us. Child training. Now what happens if the believer does not judge himself? Says 1 Corinthians, I've quoted that, chapter 11, 31, 32. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. It's all about chastisement. No time to go in it. You read it in Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 5 to 11. And now, because of our disobedience, of our stubbornness, of our hardness of our heart, we don't confess our sin, carry on with it. Now the Lord has to deal then with us as a son, to judge us, our flesh in judgment. And then God uses as a rod sometimes the loss of health. Sometimes when we lose our health, it's because of God's dealing. We lose our health. If not losing our health, sometimes God uses as a rod the loss of property. Sometimes you've been working for your boss for 20, 30 years, in a recession, all of a sudden you're out of a job, out of income, you lose your property, you can't keep up with your installments, lose your car, lose your home, and things like that. And sometimes God uses as a rod the loss of loved ones. Sometimes you carry on disobedient, living in sin, you know, you've been convicted, no, stubborn. So sometimes there's a rod, you lose a loved one. And as I mentioned also, sometimes God uses as a rod the loss of joy. The loss of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. That which we must always remember. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Finally, then, if we don't want to hearken unto the Lord, to confess, and so that we can receive the forgiveness and cleansing, then you eventually, finally, you must use the rod of premature death to the believer. You know, like we as adults, we experience that. Sometimes premature birth, not the whole 9 months. Same thing in, it can be premature death. Somebody on the day, because of his hardness of heart and his disobedience, eventually the Lord has to remove him from the sea. That's premature death. We read it in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 5. Says, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving over to Satan. His flesh for destruction. Because you don't want to take heed. You encourage, be reminded, and reminded, of your wrongdoings, but instead of to confess, eventually God is to call you home. Thank you. And lastly, you have to come to the believer's future judgment as a servant. Now, the believer's judgment as a sinner is past, and it resulted in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and justification of the believer. His judgment as a son is present, and his self-judgment. The result of this judgment is that we confess our sins, and God forgives and cleanses us from or we fail to confess our sins and are judged of the Lord and chastened. The third phase of the believer's judgment is future. This is his judgment as a servant. And we can read that in 1 Corinthians 3, 11, 15. Let me just quickly read it, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So, in verse 30, we read that every man's work shall be made manifest. Not his sin, his work. For his service you get judged as a servant. Future judgment is for a believer's works. It's a judgment for our service. It is our judgment as a servant. Verse 14 saying, if any man's work abide, will receive a reward. And we have a reward. We all have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, where we will be rewarded. And in this sense, that we will receive a crown. And now in the Word of God, I see there's 5 different crowns that we are going to receive if our work abides. You know, the crown of righteousness, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of glory, the crown of life. There's 5 different crowns. And of course, who will get those crowns and why will they get it? There's no time to go into it, but it's a very interesting subject to deal with those 5 different crowns. And so that is what verse 14 says. If any man's work abide, will he receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians 2:10. So now, beloved, God expects every believer to work. We are all to serve Christ. Let's get that straight. We are all here to serve Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Examples, you can take Mark 14 verse 8, Mary of Bethany. Says, she had done what she could. And also we must bear this in mind. Our work shall be tried by fire. Why fire? That is for quality. She says nothing about size. Let me put this to you, my beloved brother and sister. The Lord is not only interested in what you and I do. He's not only interested in what we do, but he's more interested in why are we doing it. That's most important. Why? We can do so many things to get a praise of men. Give a gift, everybody knows about it. You've got your reward already. So, love must motivate that work, that good deed that we are doing. And so, for the glory you receive, you do that, the praise of men, the seed of men, then you have your reward. But then you do it out of love. Bear it in mind, my beloved. In everything we do, the Lord give us the opportunity that we love may motivate that good deed. And so may the Lord just help us. And if you've forgotten everything that I've said in a rush, remember that the believers 3-4 judgment. Past judgment is as we sin it. Never be judged for our sin. Present judgment, as a son, you get chastised if you don't confess our sin. And our future judgment as a servant. And we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And may the Lord help us. That our works will be tried by fire. May the Lord just help us to the same. I will cling to my Savior and never depart. I will joyfully journey each day with a song on my lips and a song in my heart that my sins have been taken away. They are nailed to the cross. They are nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss, Jesus went to the cross and he carried my sins with him. Praise God. Brother and sister, we can simply rejoice. Not only is happiness awaiting us in heaven, but there is joy in the journey. Isn't it wonderful? Yes, we may go through sufferings and trials and tribulations, but there's joy in the journey. I found another couple that I heard a week ago or two ago in South Africa, struck with cancer. And I mentioned these words of encouragement to this dear lady, school teacher. I said to her, never a burden that he does not carry. Never a sorrow that he does not share. Whether our days may be sunny or dreary, Jesus is always there. She said, just hang on. I want you to quote it again. I want to write it down. Try to repeat it. But, brother and sister, you know, we are so blessed. We're so privileged, so honored. Just to be here. There's others of our brothers and sisters are going through trying times, suffering. And another thing to encourage you. The Lord will spare us from suffering. Or he will give us the grace to bear it. May the Lord just further understand and reach you and bless us for his name's sake. Amen.
The second epistle, Peter.